This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, We are done for Series 5 of the podcast.
It flew by.
It flew by. It really did fly by, like a Concorde.
Woo!
That's Mum flying by there. But we're not out. And I'm calling this Series 5.5, The Interlude, because we 5.5, yeah.
Before that suggests there have been four interludes before.
Does it?
Doesn't it?
I'm sort of seeing it as like five and a half. Yeah, 5.5. The reason being is we can't go. We can't leave right now.
We've got too many questions to answer.
We've got too many questions to answer. It would actually be a public disservice if we didn't answer these questions. Yeah. So we're going to have to keep coming at you just once a week for Real Sex Education After Schools. But that means every Monday you'll get another podcast from us over the holiday period. So, you know, when you're just like sneaking off from your family who are making you exhausted, you can like sneak into your bedroom, have a little break, listen to us, listen to some of your questions, because please do keep sending those in. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, me and Mum and accredited sex and relationship therapists, answer your questions on our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on TikTok, Instagram and X,
formerly known as Twitter.
Thank you. And on there is a link in our bio to a Google form, which is anonymous, where you can fill that out and ask any question you want. And we've got loads, because there's so many of you at the moment and there's so many questions and we're absolutely loving them. So let's just ruddy get started, shall we?
Ooh-hoo.
This is someone that DM'd us and they say, I'm a cisgender boy and my best friend of 3 years, we're like super close, basically family, who's also a boy. Again, I'm just to say for everyone, I'm reading this verbatim. I'm sorry if it's it doesn't make much sense, but this guy, best friend of 3 years, very close, also a guy. This person kissed me one night without my permission. In fact, I was sleeping and I woke to it. In the heat of the moment, I did it back. And one thing led to another, and this went on for a bit over 2 weeks. And then recently, he kind of just pushed me away and said he finds it disgusting and continued to gaslight me about wanting to kiss him. And unfortunately, I started liking him, I think. He continues to gaslight me. I've tried to have a conversation about it like twice, but he keeps deflecting it. And well, I did something I'm not very proud of, but his phone was lying open and I kind of looked at it and ended up finding out he was hooking up with like 3 other guys casually. So, because it was on Instagram, I asked a few follow-up questions and this is what they said. They said, we're both closeted. We're 20 years old. Honestly, for me, it was a revelation. I didn't know that I could be attracted to guys as well until now. I'm bi-curious as of now. And I'm in a really tough spot with this because I have absolutely no one to turn towards. Our surroundings aren't very LGBTQ friendly yet. Our families aren't very accepting. I personally am more repressed than him. I know I shouldn't have looked into his phone, but from what I saw, he seems to have LGBTQ plus friends to turn to if he's having problems.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if he is a little homophobic, your friend himself. Mm. So he has some internalized homophobia and was trying to see if you would respond to make it all right.
And respond positively.
yeah, respond positively to make it all right. And then the homophobia kicks back in again. And he's like, oh, I didn't do this. You're the one who's disgusting, not me. Whether it could be something like that. Not that there's anything disgusting about it. We're not saying that.
No, of course. Yeah. We're saying that this person's internalized homophobia because that's clearly what's... I think you're absolutely right. They've suddenly thought, oh, actually, what am I doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I would be asking your friend if he's all right. And, you know, whether he wants to confide in you about anything. Because this sounds like somebody who's very confused.
Mm.
I mean, if you've been good friends for a long time, he wouldn't suddenly start being nasty to you. This sounds like somebody who's worried, upset, who was experimenting with something that hasn't paid off. Because maybe there was a part of him hoping you'd be horrified. You know, who knows what he was intending. But there are helplines as well that you can call if he wants some support or if you do. It might be nice for you to just relax into what you've discovered about yourself and celebrate that, because it's always nice to learn something new about yourself. It's exciting.
Yeah.
So rather than be, I mean, yeah, you aren't in the environment yet, but it's really early days. And maybe when you meet a few more like-minded people, as they put it, you might be a lot more excited about what you've learned about yourself.
Yeah, and what's nice here is that, you know, you say you are good pals, and even if your surroundings aren't very LGBTQ plus friendly or whatever, there is this nice thing where you've discovered this thing together. You know, you two, he sounds like he's going through something similar to you. So you guys can, have that exciting thing where you are, like you said, Mum, celebrating this thing together and being excited about this new thing, and you guys can experience it together. Maybe that's what he's worried about, this other person, your friend. Maybe he's worried that he's like, oh, maybe I've taken it a step too far with my best friend. Maybe I'm worried I'm going to lose him, all that sort of stuff. So maybe you can de-escalate the stuff you're doing together, but you can escalate the amount that you're getting involved in other areas. I mean, it sounds like he is with these other people. I mean, that's an interesting thing as well, is that he can't just be about this one thing, that this guy is seeing other people. That's interesting. It sounds like this person is pretty comfortable being gay because they've got lots of people.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. I mean,
but what I mean is that they're finding people.
Do you remember when we spoke to Joe Court?
Yes, Dr. Joe Court.
Yes, exactly. And he talked about people having sex with the same sex to prove to themselves that they're not gay. That sometimes people will do that to see how much they like it.
Yeah.
To see whether, I mean,
it sounds laughable, but listen to the episode and it does make sense.
Absolutely. Maybe we could put the link to that in the show notes
and
link to some helplines.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we will. But I think your first thing, Mum, that you said is absolutely right. Ask them if they're okay, because it sounds like they are very confused, and, you know, and they're treating you not very nice either. So I think you can. Yeah,
and that's sad, isn't it? When it's a friendship.
Yeah, exactly.
You were comfortable enough to be asleep around this person.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting that in this message that it comes across that they're so remorseful about looking at their phone, but, you know, when this person also kissed you whilst you were asleep, I mean...
I think he's very aware that that's not okay.
Yeah.
Not looking at people's phones without their consent is also not okay.
But I'm just thinking, you know, if we were doing a tally, which we should be doing, your friend hasn't performed the best either. Anyway.
Well, it's not tit for tat, though, you know.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, don't feel like, you know, you're the worst person in the world. You know, no one's covering themselves in glory here, basically. Is that a bit mean? Yeah.
That was you trying to make it better.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Talk to them, ask them if they're okay, provide the support, and you guys can explore this fun thing together. Like, this can be exciting. And let us know how it goes. Okay, let's have another one, because like I say, we've got so ruddy many. I always think about sex but never even masturbate. Is that weird?
Oh, I'd love some context.
The context they provided is woman, bisexual.
Oh, right. So thinks about sex a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting whether they don't want to masturbate or they don't feel any desire. And that's maybe why they're thinking about sex a lot. And the age would be useful as well.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't provide that.
In your teens, you probably think about sex all the time.
Yeah.
Lots of people do. But I would say talk to your friends and see if they're all thinking about sex all the time as well and what they feel about this, because it sounds like you're wanting to jump to some conclusion and label yourself or something like that, which may be very helpful to have a label. Some people like having a label, but it may not be that helpful until you've kind of delved a bit further into this with some actual practical experience. Of either not be really genuinely not being interested in sex, or being very interested in sex, or just being academically interested in sex, because people are. Well, absolutely, just like us. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess perhaps during your teens, you may be thinking about sex all the time, but you wouldn't necessarily want to be having sex, and you might be imagining sex in a very romantic context or something like that. And so, you know, maybe masturbation wouldn't be of any interest at all, because it's not the physical experience you're looking for. It's the whole thing. It's the romance and all of that. I mean, it all depends. It isn't terribly easy to advise without knowing
a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more. But I would say probably this is not unusual anyway. If that's what you want to know, is it or isn't it? I would say no, not at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I will say is I'll update the survey to include an age as well, people can put that there. But I agree. And also, one thing I wonder as well is, when I was a kid, not so long ago. God, though. Well.
I know, you're getting on. You're getting on.
Yeah, I'm really getting on. Basically 10 years ago. But when I was a teenager, when I was at school, it was basically only the girls at school who would go, no, don't masturbate. No. But they, in turn, like all the boys, like everyone at school, we were all talking about who's getting with who. They had boyfriends, they had girlfriends, they had this, they had that. We were talking about who's getting with who. We were talking about who's going out, who's done what, who's done this, who's done that. So we were all talking about sex. We were all thinking about sex. But a lot of girls would be like, no, don't masturbate. Absolutely not, never. Those same people after school, you know, when you'd see them later, they would say, oh yeah, I did. And there's some people that still won't ever admit it or won't ever talk about it. And I do think there is this idea for lots of people where, well, that's not a girly thing to do. Women couldn't possibly stoop so low as to masturbate, my God. And definitely not admit it, and definitely not admit it to a boy at school. So there's also that. You might think about sex a lot. You might even have the desire to masturbate, but you might be subconsciously subduing those desires because of this idea that it's unladylike or whatever. And I just wonder whether maybe that as well is the case.
I think a lot of people, in any case, do kind of suppress sexual feelings because they think they're inappropriate. Because sexual feelings can occur anywhere. And I think people sometimes think, oh, if this is happening in Sainsbury's, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, it can happen anywhere. And particularly when you're starting out, you know, in life, having sexual feelings, it can be surprisingly worrying for some people. So maybe something like that's been going on. And a lot of families will tell people to do just that, to save themselves for marriage, or to be very careful in case they're assaulted. There is a lot of advice given by adults to young people who think that if they have a sexual feeling, something terrible will happen to them. You know, if you start doing that, you know, it'll encourage men, and the next thing you know, you'll be pregnant with an STD.
Yeah.
And your life
will be ruined. Someone naked, or so if someone sees you naked, they'll turn to stone. Yeah, I wonder who said that to people when they were kids, eh?
Oh, I can't imagine. Anyway.
Yeah, moving swiftly on.
But that would have been a joke.
Well, yeah, it seeps into your brain. You think, oh, God, maybe it's a bad thing, you know.
You didn't actually believe that.
No, obviously not. No.
Well, there you are then. You know, people acquire all sorts of funny ideas that aren't helpful. You know, this could be an example of that. But as we don't know, maybe drop us another line or...
But I think as well, you know, let's say, so let's maybe take the age out of it, but also get back down to the essence of this. I always think about sex, but never even masturbate. Is that weird? Is that weird? No.
No.
That's not weird. Masturbation, if you don't have the desire to do it and you don't have any sort of impetus, that's fine.
I don't think masturbation is the issue here. I think it's the thinking about sex.
Right, right.
Because they think about sex all the time. Because you can think about sex, you know, academically, you can think about it as something that other people do or that you'll do one day or that you don't feel like doing at the moment. I mean, I think this is somebody saying, I don't have any urge to have sex at the moment. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Or do that thing that we've talked about before where it's like, okay, I want to be having sex, so I'm going to schedule time for it. The desire might not come spontaneously, but I'm going to.
Well, I think that's more for people in couples who don't have the time for it. But at the moment... If you're thinking about sex a lot, I think you're thinking about it with a level of curiosity, which suggests that one day you will get into it, and it may not be appropriate at the moment.
I agree, but I'm just saying, because we don't know that context for sure, I'm trying to catch all coming across.
So if you were in a relationship and you're not feeling it at the moment, but you're thinking about it all the time, then I'd say talk to your partner about that.
And also, I'm taking the question as read, is that if the masturbation thing, if you think that you have to masturbate if you think about sex, that's not true. And also, if you want to masturbate, then in the same way, you can schedule time. Because I remember we had a question a few weeks ago where this person said, oh, I don't know how to masturbate. How do I know what's pleasurable for myself? And we said, maybe put time aside to masturbate and work out what feels good for you.
Maybe it's the same with this person. To look at your body. I mean, if you know, to be familiar with your body, to be familiar with your anatomy. I mean, the clitoris isn't in a lot of school textbooks, so you might have to find that by yourself, because that's harder to find if it's not there, if it doesn't appear as part of female anatomy.
Yeah.
But looking at yourself with a mirror, exploring, that's part of interest in sex. But if you're not doing that and you don't want to do that, there's still nothing wrong. Just
keep doing you.
Yeah.
You're not weird.
Yeah, be you. Yeah,
exactly. Wonderful. Okay. Be you, listeners, now over the break, and when we return for maybe one or two more questions, and actually one that's on a similar topic. So see you after the break.
And be you, if you add an M, you've got an anatomy word.
Bum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wonderful. We're back. Here we go. Another question for you. This one also on that Google form, and it is anonymous. And it says, I'm afraid I'll pee if I orgasm. How do I stop that? I can't really tell if I've properly orgasmed because porn gives me such an odd perspective on what an orgasm should look like for women. In the context, they said, I've never had a full orgasm, I think. I reach a certain point and just become uninterested by myself and with partners. I'm a woman, bisexual.
I wonder if you're sort of rubbing too hard or something towards the end. I mean, some people just kind of cut off when they become very aroused. They get nervous about what might happen. And maybe you're focusing your nervousness on the idea of peeing. There's a lot of people believe that if they orgasm, they will lose control. And there's real fear about what might happen to people. This is really, really common, really common. And so you're thinking you might wee. Well, it has been known, but if you've been to the loo before you start, that's very unlikely. But even if you did, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Some people squirt, you know, that happens.
Some people think that's wee.
And some people think that's wee, yeah. Mm. Either way, it's not the end of the world. Some people have been known to wee when they orgasm. It will not kill you. It won't be the end of the world. I think partners tend to say, wow, you must have been really excited if that happened. So, look at it in a positive way. But I think maybe you need to relax a bit more. I'm wondering if you are climaxing, but it's a really rotten orgasm, because you can have a rotten orgasm if you you can. If you apply a lot of pressure and very fierce stimulation, like with some of these sex toys, they're really, really mad. They're too much. If you put them on your clitoris, you'll go numb, and you just get a funny feeling that isn't very nice. It's like hitting yourself on the head. So instead of that, just be gentle, relax, and just experiment with different pressures and that sort of thing. And a tongue, maybe not your own, obviously.
Yeah, it might be difficult.
Difficult, yeah. Unless you have a very long tongue. But just experiment a bit and see what happens. And you can sometimes, if you're very, very close, Kegel exercises will get you over the edge. Pretending to orgasm, not that I'm suggesting people should be faking it, but maybe on your own, pretend and thrash about a bit and do what you think people do when they orgasm. I mean, a lot of people just go, meh, nothing happened. Nothing happened. But, in movies, they get, it's quite dramatic. So try that.
Yeah, God, and in porn, obviously, it's mental, people
and
going
so tensing and relaxing and that kind of thing can tip you over the edge. But it sounds as though there might be some anxiety, which is really, really common as well. I mean, it is what stops people from climaxing. But if it's happening when you're on your own as well, then I think it's got something to do with fear of losing control.
Mm. And would you not say, like, yes, you might think you're going to pee, but maybe you're just on your own. If you're afraid of what other people think, and maybe with the towel down just in case, keep going.
See what happens.
Because actually what you think is pee might not be pee, and actually you don't pee, and you just have your first orgasm, and you're like, okay, well, that's good. Now I know that. I recognize what that feeling is. It's not peeing. It's about to have an orgasm. Fantastic. On we go.
Also, if you're very aroused, you might be very wet. And that surprises people sometimes as well, how very wet they are. And particularly if you're close to ovulating, you can have very, very liquid kind of discharge. I mean, it's a different, what comes out of you when you're aroused is not the same as what lubricates you when you're not aroused. Mm. But that does tend to be very liquid around the time of ovulation. So that mixed in, you can have very, very, very fluid kind of moisture.
Let's have one more to finish, because like I say, we've just got so many to go through, but keep sending them in. We absolutely love them. And it's a nice one to finish on. Again, guys, I'm going to read this verbatim, and I think you'll understand why. Hi there. I'm a new listener of your podcast, and I want to say that it's very helpful and informative. Both of you are also really talented and funny. This is my answer. That's what they've said. I'm going through a breakup with my 9-year relationship. I'm hoping that we're going to change our minds about this, but what's the best way for going through a breakup? Thank you so much. Bye.
Oh, that's tough.
It is tough. And what I would say to this person is go listen to our episode on panda porn. Now, I know they'll think, what? But because at the end of that episode, we had a very similar question on breakups. So maybe go there for a fuller thing. But if you're thinking a breakup's about to happen with you and your partner, how to manage that and how to go about that?
I think it's worth having a conversation about how you want things to be when you're apart. Do you need some time absolutely not seeing one another? Is that what you need to kind of reset? Or is it okay? I mean, it depends on your circumstances. 9 years is a very long time.
Mm.
And so sometimes what people do when they've been in relationships that long and they have no kids is to separate and then check in, a month later.
Or
something
that,
like
yeah.
that, and have, you know, maybe go for a coffee, have regular, until it starts to feel normal and natural again. Mm. I would absolutely, if you're supposed to be splitting up, do not stay in the same house if you can possibly avoid it. Don't live together. Just it's torture. And I know a lot of people have to these days, but it is torture. And and quite often people find as soon as they're apart, they feel so much better. But you need ground rules around that as well before you do it. You know, you'd say, you know, hand back your keys to the person who's continuing to live in the property. Don't just let yourself in. Don't just say, I've changed my mind, I'm back, in the middle of the night and turn up, expecting someone to be pleased to see you. Don't, you know, people go in for, oh, well, it'll just be a trial separation. And what quite often happens with those is that the person that suggested the trial separation, really, because they really wanted to just get away and thought, oh, this will sweeten the pill. They leave, they find they don't like it, they want to come back, but the other person has, you know, come to terms with it, and they come back and they're now out of love and not ready to come back again anytime soon. So it's dangerous to mess with this. Don't do it unless you're all sure.
And also with that, you know, when you come back and do that, and maybe you are both happy with it, and then things haven't really changed, you then just have the breakup all over again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that can sometimes feel like
over and over again.
But I think there's some great advice now. I've even heard of people, I mean, this is kind of crazy, but I've even heard of people like drawing up semi-contracts, being like, you will not post pictures of yourself that I've taken on your Instagram and your new dating profile, stuff like that, which I think, to be honest, is really funny.
I think people should be very clear about how they're going to be kind to one another, you know, and not do anything angry. I mean, you may not want to end and the other person might, and it may be taking you time to catch up. They've probably been building up to it for a while. But, so don't do any nasty revengey stuff where you put up pictures or posting yourself in flagrante with somebody else or anything like that. Just don't do those things. Yeah. They're horrible because you end up being blocked and everyone will hate you. So just don't do it.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's some really good advice there. Yeah, talk to each other. And what I would say, though, is as well, is that at least for a lot of my breakups, it is
how many have you had?
Oh, shut up. It's easier to not speak and sort of go, you know, but I do like that idea. And a lot of people have said to me, it's been very helpful for them when they've sort of had that, in a way, North Star of a month. Because when you say, oh, we'll speak in a week, you're just living for that for next week. Whereas a month, I think, is long enough that you really do. You might have, at first it's going to hurt. You'll get used to it, and then the time the month rolls around, it's not that you've been yearning for it and waiting for it, and basically all you've spent, it sort of comes around, and you go, oh, okay, I'm ready for this now. And I think especially for a 9-year relationship, I think that's fair.
Well,
enough.
One thing I would say as well is, when I'm saying don't meet for a month, that means don't have contact for a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't go texting 15 times a day. And personally, I would block one another.
I think that's honestly fair enough.
And you know, unblock.
Don't give yourself that temptation. And I think that comes back to basically what we mentioned in the Panda Porn episode. Do go back and listen to that. But then it comes down to things like, do surround yourself with support systems that you have, your friends, your family, etc. But also focus on like, okay, why did we break up, and who does that mean I want to be or can be now? You know, how can I start making changes for myself? Do something different. And also, and do something for you. You know, basically, you can put your time and effort into something really nice and fun, and start building a new you again. And that is a really exciting thing.
There's a section on building a new you and recovering from a breakup in my book, Love and Sex in a New Relationship.
Wow, have I got that one?
You should have.
I should have, but I don't know if I have it on the.
But there's a lot about how to break up, what happens when relationships end, and how you negotiate a new relationship at any stage of life.
This is the first time you've referenced your book and not it hasn't
but
been me.
It's just so relevant.
It's so bloody relevant, and it so often is.
Make a good Christmas present, actually.
Oh,
now I think about it.
Now you come to think about it, there's still time. There's still time, guys. Let's have a think about that.
Yeah.
We'll have a look. And in the meantime, be you, guys. But also, if you're going through a breakup, be a new you.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or it's bum, nearly or the whatever. New year. So.
Oh my God! So you can make ever. Some. Exactly, and you can make some New Year's resolutions, which we still want, by the way.
Yeah,
if you have definitely. Any New Year's resolutions, sex or relationshipy, let us know, because we'll be seeing you on New Year's Day to chat about them there. So anyway, until then, make sure you're following us, subscribe to us, so you don't miss any of these lovely after-school episodes we've got for you over the holiday period, and we'll see you next time on The Real Sex Education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.